listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast that dares to ask, am I the bad guy over here? That's right. I said it twice in a row. Does it sound like we have a new intro to the podcast? It might be. That voice you're hearing is mine. Isn't that neat? I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. I'm also known as Mark Carbanza. You might know me by my column, Am I the Bolus, over at CommandersHerald.com. Gee, I wonder why that sounds so familiar, because you're listening to the podcast version of Am I the Bolus. It's called Am I the Bullcast. Welcome and thank you so much. My name is Mike Carrozza. I said that already. I'm a stand-up comedian and I write for Magic. And I'm also, let me tell you this, I don't write for Magic. I write about Magic. Guys, we share an office, but I can't hear them yet because my co-hosts are on the line, but they're in the far end of the office. I'm here in Montreal and I've got this beautiful, beautiful window to look out of. And I guess that they're looking out that window over down that way. Our co-hosts are doing something funny, and I can't tell what. But the first one I'm going to introduce is someone you might know for his column, How They Brew It, over at CommandersHerald.com. You might know him as Games Freak SA, but over here we know him as Michael Solani.
Hey, can you hear me over at the other end of the office? I'm yelling to you from the other end of the office. We need more coffee filters. Can you give me some more coffee filters?
Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, I think it's because of the headphones that you can hear me.
How do you know I'm wearing headphones?
Hi, Michael. That was worth the bit.
I have to slowly scooch back over to the microphone so that it doesn't get picked up by the microphone. Ken will just edit it out anyway.
I think that was fun. I think that you're going to get a couple chuckles on the way to work from that one. I'll tell you that much.
I demand at least one car crash.
Not car crash, you donk. It's no violence. Stay safe out there. Laugh with your hands at 10 and 2. Also joining us is our producer and super genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Mikes. I can see the rat hole from my house.
Is that... Wow, modern day Sarah Palin is wilding out over here. What a reference, huh? 2003? 2004?
Yes, the 2003 election.
Look at me go. Knowing that elections happen, I guess, in... When... Is it only on even years?
Yes. It's only It's only every 4 years, but if it's a leap year, it's actually... Every 100 years on the leap year, it doesn't happen.
That makes no sense.
Speaking of a political apocalyptic wasteland, how are you enjoying Fallout?
I'll tell you what, I am bad at the game. I bought Fallout 4 because it was on sale. I also bought Fallout 76 because it was on sale. But I also got Fallout 3 and New Vegas with my PlayStation subscription. And guess what? I've started all of them and I haven't gotten far in any of them because I like to pick up everything and I hate games that punish you for picking up anything. And also, let's not forget that you also have like all these stats to be aware of. You have to be aware of all this stuff but it's also a run and shoot game. But also if you want to build something with camp, you have to kind of know how the system works without anybody telling you, really. And give me Bioshock. One hand goes zap and other hand go bang.
It's just like real life. That's all Fallout is real life.
GTA and Fallout have the same problem, like Red Dead Redemption 2, where you're like, you don't forget, you got to take care of your horse. If you don't take care of your horse, you're a bad person and your horse is gonna hate you.
Aren't we ostensibly a Magic podcast?
Well, and ostensibly, there is a Fallout Magic set, and there will eventually be a Red Dead Redemption Magic set.
I mean, probably.
It all ties together.
I don't know about that.
Do you think that you could get a full set redemption on Magic Online for Red Dead Redemption?
Boo! Everybody is booing you in their car. That's where the car crash happened.
That was actually a great joke. I don't know what I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Everyone who was on the line on the switchboard just hung up. So
yeah.
Oh my god.
Somehow heard us
live.
No
more switchboards. We're not getting a call today.
Oh my god, my boss is gonna kill me.
The episode is coming from inside the house. Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. We're a Magic podcast, sure, fine. Fallout is the game that is, you know, Universes Beyond is great. A lot of people agree and a lot of people disagree, but I'm happy to be one of the people that says yes. And here's the thing. We could talk about Magic and Fallout at the same time, and we could do a little game that I've been having fun with because I've been enjoying the legends from the set. I think that there's a lot of room. I spoke last episode about my deck that it has Three Dog as the secret commander. I think that's really neat and fun. I've put the struggle of, Project Purity, struggle for Project Purity in my Ninth Doctor deck, and I've got my Mike and Will deck benefiting from that beautiful Nuka-Cola vending machine that I acquired from Card Sphere. And now we can talk about the commanders and how they're doing over at basically our favorite deck building website, Archidect. I'm just going to go over here and pull it up.
Every time you say the names of your decks, followed by the cards that you put in your deck, there is some absolute purist out there that's like, that's not my Magic. And then they'll bring up that one cardboard crack comic and they'll post it in the comments. And it'll be like, we're playing Magic the Gathering. Can't you tell? And it's like, no, because they're all Universes Beyond. That's your voice saying those words is like a knife to them.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Okay. I'll say I also love it. You know why? I still have decks that are purely no Universes Beyond cards in them. And that's fine, too, because guess what? They're game pieces. You know what's fun is all the stories about Magic are online now, or you can find the book somewhere if you really love Magic so much. But I kind of enjoy learning more about Fallout and then looking at these card designs now. Because I had no idea who these characters were until I started playing Fallout. And a lot of it makes a lot more sense. Like Dogmeat? Dogmeat makes so much more sense now that I've played it. Okay, so Dogmeat enters the battlefield, mill 5 cards, then return an aura or an equipment card from your graveyard to your hand. He's going to go fetch something that he dug for. And then also, whenever a creature you control that is enchanted or equipped attacks, create a junk token. It's because when you kill somebody, he can go fetch something from their body. And like, I don't know. It makes sense now. It's not something I could have, you know, it's definitely implied. I could have, what's the word I'm looking for? Intimated or whatever. I could have figured it out. I could have guessed, you know, I could have inferred. There it is. But I, you know what? I'm glad that I have the knowledge of it now. Mr. House makes a lot more sense. You know what I mean? It rips. I love this part. This is the most fun. Getting to know the thing and so that the cards make more sense. That's so cool and so fun. So, you know, I'm sorry if you hate it. You don't need to engage with it until it shows up at your table. And then guess what? Pretend it's Lazav or whatever. Pretend it's Sakashima pretending to be another thing. Sakashima read a magazine, some sort of like Nintendo power ass. That's real old, but like, you know. Sakashima read some sort of old magazine where they were talking about Fallout 1 and they're like, the master is this weird goopy guy. And you're like, yeah. I'm that weird goopy guy. That's Sakashima now. Now, hey, does that make it more sense in your mind when you're playing against it?
No, that just adds more questions.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make it make sense for the people that are not going to ever make it make sense for themselves. So, you know, it's a fool's errand to begin with.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Point is, these commanders are popular. Legends from Fallout are doing well. I'm on Archidect right now, and I'm taking a look at the trending commanders. I got 9 of them in front of me. These are the trending commanders, the most built commanders in the last week or so. And there are 9, and of 9, there are 2 that are not Fallout commanders. I want to do a little game, a little quick ski. I want, please, if you don't mind, take a guess at what the top Fallout trending commander is. And what the top non-Fallout trending commander is. And bonus, if you can name the other non-Fallout commander.
Top trending is Mothman.
Morgan, what do you think? The Wise Mothman.
Dockside Extortionist.
Okay, well, correct. But also, not here.
Oh, was I right?
Unfortunately.
Or...
No, you were wrong. But Michael was correct. The Wise Mothman is the number one trending new commander from Fallout decks by, like, a lot. On Archidect, you got 1,400 decks for the Mothman, and then the next highest is Mr. House at 871. That's nearly double. That's kind of nuts, and I do love that. But the non-Fallout commanders trending, go ahead, take your guess.
Released when?
Not saying. These are the
not saying.
Solani. Just guess.
It's really not.
Atraxa. Take your guess.
It's a white card.
Oh my God, Morgan.
A white card? Is it Giada?
Morgan, don't do the bit now. Oh my God.
The better one.
Which one is it, Morgan? Say it.
For the non-Fallout commander.
Uh-huh.
Top 10?
If you say Smothering Tithe.
No, she's going to say Dockside Extortionist.
No, Dockside Extortionist was the first one.
Okay, all right. These two commanders, both of them came from Murders at Karlov Manor. And one of them isn't technically in the set.
It's got to be Voha's got to be the one, right? There's been so much discourse about Voha. Is it too overpowered? Why did they give it Ward 3? Is it the best elf ball commander? Why did they give it Ward 3? Is it good to build as a wolves deck? Why did they give it Ward 3? It's got and Trample 2 and it's 5 mana.
And Vigilance. And
why are 3 of those mana required when you ever want to cast a... Whenever you want to commit a crime on this wolf.
What, is it Voha?
Why do you have to ward...
It is Voha. Very, very, very much Voha. And it's Voha and the...
No, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, I go with Voja. I don't care.
I say Voja, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Voja.
I want to do what the cool kids are calling.
You know what? For a while went Voya. Like a yeah, you know?
Could be that.
Voya,
I don't know.
Jaws of the Con. Voha just doesn't hit me in the fun spot.
Voja.
Voja or Voya? Voya makes more sense to me personally.
I like Voya more. I'm going to start calling it Voya.
So, do either of you want to hazard a guess about the next most popular non-Fallout commander this week?
From
Murders at Karlov Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rare.
I was gonna say Markov Manor again.
Everybody does
different
it, and
set.
I hate that
different
they
set.
Do.
Every time.
Not a set at all.
Every time I'm gonna say it.
Okay. Let's just say it's in a colored combination that Solani is wrong about.
It's she's not in the set, right? It's
she's in the
what's
set.
Her face?
Voya's not in the set, but she's in the set.
Oh, it's What's-Her-Face, the one that gives all your instants and sorceries death touch.
The witch.
That's right, Judith, Carnage Connoisseur.
Judith.
Yeah, Rakdos Kappa over here, friggin' Judith, Carnage Connoisseur. Cast an instant or sorcery.
That deck builds itself.
I don't know. I saw a version that does, like, just Thrill of Possibility effects and makes a bunch of red imps and is just like, what now, everybody? I think there's a little bit more flexibility to her than people think. I've been having fun watching some gameplay videos with her in it, so I quite enjoy it.
Karoza and I are Blood
Witch
fanatics.
She is lighting up
fanatics.
The board, like, I assume that a switchboard is being lit up right now.
I don't know. Is the switchboard doing all right?
Oh, you know what? Hang
Do
on.
Do we have any calls coming
Let
in?
Let me just... Yeah, hang on. I was getting a little too excited. Give me 1 second here.
Yeah, because we didn't have any... You said everyone left, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you guys. It's...
What?
It's the boss? It's the boss, and he wants to talk to Mike.
Our boss?
Wait, what?
Solani, you have to take this. Oh, he wants to talk to Mike. Karoza, you have to take it.
Okay, I'm going to take it then. Here I go. Caller on the line. Who is this? Who am I speaking to? Let's talk about your pet peeves and your stories. Who do we got?
Hi. This is Jason Ault, long-time listener, first-time listener.
Oh, okay, it's the boss, man. Oh, Ken, I'm sorry. Oh, hey, boss, how you doing? Hey, man, welcome to the show. Mm. We're on the radio.
Yeah, we are on the radio. That's what we decided we're going to do for this show. It was definitely going to be a show.
On the radio.
You were in the studio, and then people called in.
Uh-huh. That's what we wanted.
No, that's not what I wanted. I wanted this to be a lot more like Frasier, and you said, hey, I've never seen Frasier, and I tried to explain to you that's why it's funny.
That's why it's funny? I have seen some Frasier.
Well, that's
I just think
the wrong amount.
Frasier sucks, and
no,
I know we're losing
a
listener base.
Nope. I don't care. Cheers sucks. Care. I will go out on a limb. And say that
Cheers?
Everything that people thinks about Cheers is actually true of Night Court, which was always funnier than Cheers.
Night Court's great. Night Court's really good.
Night Court's back.
But Cheers is also great. Is it really? Wait,
yeah,
for
Night
real?
Court's back, baby.
Not just on that one episode on 30 Rock?
No, they they relaunched it, but it's just Oh, what's his name? Larroquette. I think he's like the only one back.
Oh, that's wild. Okay.
It is wild. Night Court was a great show. So we're, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why you wanted Frasier so badly, but I do think that the call-in format, and get this, we dropped it immediately by referring to it as a podcast.
I'm aware.
Jason Alt. You're, I mean, we know you from Brainstorm Brewery.
Do
but
we?
I know you as my boss.
Does anybody know me from anything? I'm wondering. I kind of feel like that Swedish guy that wrote all of the hits in the like early 2000s, like all the Britney Spears Max and Christina Aguilera. Yeah, it's just one guy just doing all the writing and no one knows his name.
And
I'm referencing that guy and saying I'm like that guy and I don't know his name.
Honestly, power move.
Yeah, I'm that guy of the magic community. No one's heard of me, but you've seen my work.
Oh yeah. Well, you're the what are you the father of the 75% theory, the in terms of 75% decks. Mm-hmm. You're a boss man over at EDH Rec and Commander's Herald. You're the guy that reached out and said, "Hey, I think it's time that you write a column for us."
I did that.
You hired me.
I did that.
You said, "Hey, what do you want to write on the website?" And I said, "I don't know." And then we came up with this idea.
Am I the
which
bolus?
I'm going to say was mostly your idea.
Okay.
You were like, "Would you want to do this?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's do that." Now here we are. What is it? 2.5 years later?
Something like that.
Almost three.
Propriety demands that I not be the one that say it was my idea.
Right. Well,
I appreciate you doing it.
I mean,
it was a group effort.
We came up with it together. It's not like I didn't have any idea thrown out there. I do.
You're writing it. You're doing the thing.
Am I the only weekly column on the site? No. Am I?
No.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
You deserve a distinction.
Well,
on the website, you're doing superlative work on Commander's Herald, a website that only does satire.
I have this recording of my boss saying I'm doing great work on the.
You're going to use this to get a raise, aren't you, son of a bitch?
Yeah, baby, baby, baby. Well, Jason, I want to say first of all, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for calling in. Huh?
I called into the program.
You called into the program.
Like in Frasier. Everybody that I got to agree to do this podcast, I pitched them on it by saying it was like Frasier. So then they call you and they're like, "Hey, Mike, we're doing the Frasier thing." You're like, "No, we're not." No.
I mean, it's not like I'm not doing the Frasier thing.
How dare you?
I tell them, "Hey, I'm gonna say who's the caller on the line," and then we just have a conversation. You know, that's literally, and then they're like, "Oh, sure, I'll introduce myself." And you know what's great about letting guests introduce themselves? They say what they want to say. And that is good because then I'm not like, "You know this guest from being on this and then this and also this." And then you name one obscure thing that you found in your research that they're like, "Oh, I don't really know that I want people to go that far back." You know what I mean?
Yes, like when please don't say, talk about the improv comedy I did in 2004.
Right. Or like somebody recently brought me up on stage by saying he was named one of Montreal's top 10 comedians in 2017. And I'm like, "Hey, man, why would that be? Why is that?" That's the credit you're reaching for. I've done so much more cool stuff since then.
In the last 7 years. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I've done so much more notable and cool stuff. And they're like, "One of Montreal's top 10 comedians in 2017. You know why I got it in 2017? It's the 1 year I got people to vote for me. That's what I did. It's a voting system.
Yeah, oh, I want a bringer show. He's the bringiest comic in Montreal. No, I love it. I didn't have credits for like all of the time I did comedy, so I just told people that I wrote for Roseanne because I thought it was funny that Mark Rosewater wrote for Roseanne. Let's swing this back. And so people are like, "Do you have any credits?" We're like, "Yeah, I wrote for Roseanne for 3 seasons. And
do you know Mark Rosewater?
People would just go up and then not say that because that's weird.
Why wouldn't they say it?
Who knows?
How do they know? But I know we talk to each other. We know what we think about. I knew you calling in would lead to us discussing a particular shared pet peeve.
As soon as my name lit up on the telephone.
Morgan
answered in the studio like Roz on Frasier, a show which I can't reiterate this enough. Neither one of us cares for.
Yeah, I don't know why you kept pushing for it.
It's drugs, so Michael. Silly. Do you want the answer?
Drugs.
Marijuana.
Okay, well, now a lot makes so much more sense. So
no, man,
it's
Frasier. What? Yeah. Remember Frasier? Kind of? Good. Everyone kind of remembers it. We're on to something.
We know
here.
Frasier. I should have the theme song on here. Wait, is this one Frasier?
Yeah. Frasier's Frasier. Film before a live studio audience.
All right. 90 sitcom,
do you know that
baby?
Guy recorded that different every
oh,
time?
Oh, the Seinfeld theme? Yes.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
Had to match the timing. No. So necessary. To match the timing of Seinfeld's intro bit, so necessary. And you know what? Kept himself a job for so long.
I know, that's so good.
I
can
mean,
you record a song that we'll use all the time? No, but I'll play it live every episode so you can't get rid of me.
Jason, when I saw your name come up on the caller ID
in the studio,
when I heard your voice and couldn't place it and then started swearing a whole bunch, you might remember from the beginning of the episode when I said, oh,
it's
the boss man.
Because you knew I was calling in, because the whole reason we're doing this podcast is so I could call in and complain.
There we go. And shout out to Ken, who just bleeped all that stuff out. Jason, I knew when you were calling in that you and I would be on the same page about your pet peeve, and I would love it. I would love it if you'd introduce that to our audience. Right. What is your pet peeve?
Not respecting other people's time, specifically.
Uh-huh.
Not respecting their time when you are just wrathing the board a bunch and just slowing the whole game down, playing the kinds of wrath that it's impossible to recover from. Not having a way to win the game right away. Kicking a cyclonic rift and then just like not winning. Not respecting people's time. Because I feel like, I think people think that I don't like my creatures to die. But really, I don't like the game to take an extra half hour. And I feel like a farewell, not necessarily a psych rift if the person who kicked it's going to win. But if like they're not and somebody else has to win the game. You made it take longer, and I don't like that. I want games to go quicker because I have lots of decks.
Yes. Yeah. I love that you said kicker about Cyclonic Rift, the card famously known for having kicker.
Yeah. Well, it's all kicker.
It's all kicker.
It's all, every ability's kicker.
I remember Gavin going through it on Good Morning Magic. It's like,
oh, it does a different thing if you pay a different amount of mana, but it's not kicker. Are you sure?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, I see how this could be kicker.
It's kicker.
No, it's totally kicker. It's kicker. I know it's kicker, but we're going to get a lot of actuallys in the comments here being like, well, it's overload. It's an isn't mechanic and the flavor of it, la-di-da.
If they get a problem, they can get famous and call into this show like the rest of us.
Hey, if you call in, here's the number. It's 555. I'm going to a very obviously fake number. So I agree. Not respecting somebody's time is a big deal. I think that that's totally pet peeve worth supporting. I hate it. I don't like when my time is being disrespected because we're all getting together to have a good time. What are we doing? Oh, you're going to wrath the board? Keep wrathing the board? There are people out there who have wrath decks and their goal is to annoy the table enough to just have them concede. Why is that what you want to do with your time?
Yeah.
You thrive on the frustration of others?
Farewell specifically, I think, bothers me because...
That's the one I thought we were talking about exclusively, I'll tell you what.
Because, okay, so you look at a card like Merciless Eviction. Now, I'm a guy who plays a lot of enchantments because I like enchantments.
I love enchantments. They're the best.
Like Mind's Dilation and...
Yeah.
I like impacting the game a lot. I don't like Staxi type stuff because I don't... I don't like people not being able to untap, but I like when stuff comes into play tapped because you're enchantment. So the enchantments solve a lot of problems. I have several decks that are basically revolve around having lots of enchantments and having replenish in those decks.
I'm literally building one right now. I'm building my Anixia deck right now.
There's so many cards like there's Second Sunrise and Empty the Vault and all those cards that are completely useless now because if your enchantments are getting blown up, it's because... Everything you own is getting blown up and everything's getting exiled and your graveyard's gone too. That's why I liked Merciless Eviction. If someone was going to nuke all of my enchantments, It's because I deserved it, because what I was doing was so much worse than every creature on the board. You had to make a decision with Merciless Eviction. And now your decision is you have to play blue. That's your decision. Your decision is you have to counter Farewell or you will not get back in the game. So it's still going to be there are four players at the table, but there's you with nothing. Like, you don't even have mana because you lost all your wild growths and you're just draw go and everybody else is playing. So like the game takes longer, but the amount that it's your turn is less. So they're like, you're subjecting someone to a three player game at that point. That's how I feel about it. It's not like, oh, just run fewer enchantments. Don't, but it's everywhere. And every time they need to make another juiced wrath.
Yeah.
They'll just, it's austere command, but like more oppressive. And I think that's kind of lazy design, personally.
I think that thing is with Farewell, it's not even a decision. Everybody's going full send. If it's one thing if that person plays the Teferi's Protection in response to their own Farewell, you know, and it comes back around to them and they have a full board and they can beat you. It's like doing a Cyclonic Rift the end step before your next turn, and you have a board full that can kill the table. I can get behind that,
but then like, that's something I can. You be played fine an insert. You played a Craterhoof, right?
Right, exactly.
Because I'm not someone that doesn't like when the game ends. I love when the game ends. Give me an Insurrection. Right. Insurrection ends a game that needs to end and needs help. Because the thing about Insurrection that everyone's like, oh, it's just a one card win. Okay, but if I mana ramped on turn one and played an Insurrection into an empty board, I don't do anything.
Right.
So like the game has to suck for Insurrection to be a you win. It has to be a board with so many creatures that nobody can profitably attack each other and nothing's happening. You're breaking a stall. You're ending a game that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so if you win the game on the back of that Farewell, you could say, well, it was the same kind of spell, but like, was it or was I playing a bunch of Drago? Because I don't want to make people play Drago. A game of Magic is long if you're playing like a 4 or 5 player EDH pod, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the amount of time it's your turn, it's like 25% of the game time. But if you're draw going and somebody else has a whole board, they're doing a bunch of crap, you're just watching somebody play solitaire. It feels bad. Mm-hmm. I don't like to change somebody's 25 into a 15 or a 14, right? 75%, that's the... 75% means it's 75% of the game, it's not your turn. But that's not where I can...
That's not it. Yeah.
I made such a huge mistake putting a number...
Because
as soon as I put a number, everyone's like, it's quantitative. I'm like, no, it's qualitative, but I use the number.
Yeah.
If I could go back 10, 11 years ago and tell myself,
isn't that
like,
crazy?
Hey, look, you're that's about to write a back thing called 75%. What if instead you got a real job?
Oh.
So.
How dare you?
If I had a time machine.
Hey, what well, if you, hey, you're about to write a seminal piece of.
I'd be working at Eli Lilly right now if I had a time machine.
I don't even know what that is.
Hey, you know how you're going to do an open mic? What if you didn't? What if you did anything else?
You know what? That should be, that's advice anybody could benefit from.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you think it's time to try an open mic, don't do it.
Don't.
And then if your instinct is to be like, but I wanna, then it's like, okay, well then why are you going to listen to me? And then you're like, I want advice. And my advice is don't do it. And then they're going to be like, but I want to do it.
Anybody who really wants to do stand up, one person discouraging them is not going to like stop them.
Yeah.
So if you if one person manages to discourage somebody from their dream, it wasn't their dream. You did them a favor.
Yeah. But you know what I dream of? I dream of a format without Farewell. I am right there. I'm done with it. I hate Farewell.
Farewell.
Look, a board wipe, so necessary, okay? Board wipes in Commander, very necessary. Do we need 5 per deck? No. There are so many board wipes out there that you can pick one that doesn't suck. Austere Command, you brought it up before. Yes, you pick 2, but you're basically saying, am I saving all my small creatures or all my big creatures and getting rid of the artifacts? Or am I keeping the creatures around and getting rid of 2 other permanent types? Like, you're making a decision there. Extinguish All Hope gets rid of all non-enchantment creatures, which is like thematically what
those
might be
the,
good
those
for
are the
your
rest
own deck.
You should be running. Blow up all non-token creatures. I'm the only one with creatures. Yeah, if you have a way to
that's it
be the only one with permanents, cool, you won the game. I don't care if you win the, if you play a farewell and everybody dies when all their enchantments go away and they take damage somehow. Like, if you can win the next game because you have 10 planeswalkers, good.
I don't hate
farewell in a situation where you made the game go faster.
It's the one deck that I still have it in the list is my Aminatu Super Friends deck. Literally because it's a planeswalker deck and farewell doesn't hit planeswalkers. That's it.
Because you put yourself in a situation to win the game. And as much as I don't care if I win or lose a game of Commander. I've never cared about a no prize casual format where I'm hopefully at my friend's house drinking. I never remember who wins a game of Commander. I just remember how it feels to have my phone in my pocket and be like, I would really love to look at my phone right now because I'm going to draw. It's going to be a land. I'm going to play it. I have nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing in play. Yeah. And I really want to look at my phone now. I don't want to feel like that, and I don't want people to feel like that.
Agreed.
If I play a spell and they lose the game, people tend to be like, cool, I brought multiple decks, let's play another game of Magic, versus, oh my god, let's... Scheherazade is banned for a reason. Farewell. What is it if not a Scheherazade?
Well, that's... Okay, so here's another thing that you brought up a couple times now that I don't know if it's getting cut or if we're not referencing it, but either way, I'm going to bring it up now.
Yes, yeah,
so you mentioned people have multiple decks.
Hmm.
Those who don't and who only get in a couple of games, I bet they're not feeling like stoked that they're at a standstill again either. And like, I've been to LGSs where somebody's run away with a game. You get the nut draw, you go a little too fast for the rest of the pod. The game ends, but people are like, well, I'm really excited. I built this deck. I came out with just this deck. I'm going to play this deck. Let's shuffle up and play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm coming to Chicago, or I went to Chicago in February. My suitcase or my backpack don't allow for me to bring like all 8 decks that I want to bring with me.
Yeah.
I'm bringing 4. You know what I mean? I'm not bringing much more than that. So I'm going to sit down and play the same deck a lot. You know, I'm hoping to play like 40 games. You know what I mean?
I want to play 40 games, and I can't do that if the time where we would be shuffling up to play another game, we're not shuffling. We're just watching, you know, one person be like, I kept a Gideon. I'll attack for 6.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play lots of games.
Is there, so here's the thing, right? Like there's so many fun board wipes. Like, let's say we're talking about like Fumigate. You've got a life game deck. You need to slow down the board. You play Fumigate. You gain a bunch of life. You're already on theme. There's one that works. But where are we at on like exile wipes? Like, I understand
I like Aetherize. Aetherize, Aether like Spouts. If somebody is going to, the amount they get pantsed by that card is equal to the amount they were trying to hurt me specifically. Mm. If they're attacking me with their board, they're going to lose their board. I love a good Aetherize.
You know what I like that is Ink Shield. Stuff like that where Ink Shield's a great, great card for that stuff. But I do think that like, if we're talking like exile wipes, right? Like, I understand that sometimes they're necessary because somebody's got an Avacyn on board and everything's indestructible. Or like, you know, they played a Heroic Intervention or they have it on an Isochron Scepter and they can just keep playing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there are those moments where like you have to play that kind of card. And that's fair when it's not literally nuking everything. Like Sunfall, 5 mana, exile all creatures, you get an incubate token, I believe, equal to the total amount of creatures that were exiled.
Yeah.
Like it's a problem in Standard right now, I think, but would it be a problem at EDH tables? I think you get a couple groans. You'd get a couple groans because creatures are gone for good. But that player still has what is possibly a giant creature that's going to swing next turn. It gives you something to fight back against. It's a way more interesting play pattern than say, I'm going to farewell, and then you watch them go, well, I know I'm going to exile all creatures. Do I also exile our artifacts? Because I have a lot of artifact ramp in this. Let's do graveyards, creatures, and enchantments. You know what? I changed my mind. Let's also do artifacts. Artifacts, creatures, enchantments, graveyards, and then let's do that.
I get to keep my hand? Thanks.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Now you have thanks, wizard. 4
lands on turn 6.
There's no 8 mana farewell that gets her hand too.
That's the thing, is like I even an undo inversion right? Undo Inversion being the 8-mana Wrath that's also a land that you, like, it's a MDFC. You could put it into play as a tap land. It's an 8-mana Wrath that says destroy all non-land permanents. Hey, fine by me. Destroy. There's hope that I'll draw my Living Death. Or, like, there's hope that maybe I have a Savine's Reclamation in there that I can get back my friggin' Chromatic Lantern.
I don't like that they printed so much Hexproof and Indestructible that, like, the only way to kill an Avacyn is to destroy, like, 5 of my Wild Growths. And, like, nuke me back entirely to the Stone Age. You'd like a little bit more.
Swords of Plowshares. Those are all out there, but then what? You've got protection. A lot of protection out there. Like I said, Swiftfoot Boots, etc.
So am I complaining potentially about, like, tools that are necessary? Perhaps. I just think that people need to think more about respecting other people's time and respecting how it feels to just not get to participate in 25% of the game time.
So I guess this extends to people who are like, you know, like those Is It Spell Slinger decks with just stacks of Storm stuff happening. Like,
yeah, sometimes with that... I had some Simic decks that, like, I would just take apart because it was really easy to have a good turn, but, like, if you didn't do anything, you played 9 extra lands, drew 9 extra cards, gained 9 life. Everybody watched you take 9 minutes. And then you're like, oh, I annoyed the shit out of everybody. Go. I don't like those decks where I'm playing more than 25% of the time. I don't like it.
See, here's the thing about those decks, though, for me. For me and my playgroup, what we like to do is, like, we'll make it like a table experience, right? Like, say my buddy Chris has this new deck that he's working on. He knows he's got a hell of a turn ahead of him. He'll start playing stuff. We'll start managing the stack with him. You know what I mean? It's not all on him to show stuff where it's at. We're all being active players during his turn and helping him out with that. I think that keeps it at least engaging enough that I can get behind a deck that's doing a lot. You know, I can get way more behind a deck that's doing a lot where people can still have fun with it. I would appreciate somebody who knows their deck well enough to know stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
But even then, like, you just, like, keeping track of it is way more interesting to me than somebody going, send us all back to the Stone Age. Everybody who had plans, good luck. Now you got to figure it out. This guy has one card in hand and it's a forest. So what's your next turn? Oh, you drew another land. Great. Well, good luck with that, buddy. Enjoy. Play your commander, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, your commander costs 12 mana because this isn't the first.
And all your mana rocks are gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, better luck next game. Also, this game still has an hour and 20 minutes to it, apparently. So,
yeah. Yep. So I didn't really phrase this as an am I the bolus question. You know, but, like,
that's the thing.
Am I the bolus for, like, it's become such a meme, like, surrounding me that everyone's like, oh, God, don't play a Wrath around Jason. It's like, I don't care about Wrath of God. I just don't want you to fart in an elevator and then leave. By right, like,
that's a fun way to put it,
kicking a Psychriff and being like, oh, I'm dead.
That's the thing about Psychriff, when then you're dead, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I think, you know, it's not as bad as, like, when somebody slams Kiki Jiki Pestermite kind of combo and you're like, well, this just came out of nowhere and whatever, who cares, like, I'm not happy about it, you know, versus a like Cyclonic Rift, and then you also have a board that we've been eyeing and it's still I can get behind that more than, like, a 2-card combo that just takes over. But I do think that, like, if you're ending the game, great. If you're still letting there be a fighting chance with the resources that we have in the singleton format, awesome. Exile Wraths are so rough. They're so, so rough. And that's why this is, like, and here's the thing. We're talking about your pet peeve. We don't really have a story to go with this where you're telling us a story about a time where you may have been the bolus. So, is there
somebody cast a farewell and I yelled at him? No, I don't know.
Somebody cast a farewell and now I'm on Twitter talking about how much I hate farewell so much. Am I the bolus for polluting everybody's feeds?
I QT'd somebody. That wasn't my original tweet, but I think I have had original tweets about farewell before. I don't care for the
color. You're not alone. I see Shivam complaining about farewell a bunch. I know that a fair bit of my friends are also taking farewell out of their decks. Like, it's not a pleasant experience, and I get that. It's also not going to get banned, I don't think, because less cards on the ban list is a
good thing. I don't want it banned necessarily, mm-hmm. because like there are just lots of cards people can grief mm-hmm. people for the sake of griefing, and
yeah,
Farewell's not really a salty card when we do our salt surveys. So like, I'm in the minority here. So I guess like I came on here not to like defend myself from an Abolissi situation. I'm here to defend my point of view. I don't like Wrath, where like the only real outcome of playing it is it makes the game take a lot longer. I don't like that kind of Wrath where it's sort of like, oh, we're starting over with fewer resources, and I don't like that feeling, and I don't want to do that to people. And I guess what I want, I came on the cast. Look, I want to tell people maybe there's a better way. Maybe why do you feel like you need Farewell? Are you in a Super Friends deck? Okay, that's maybe one thing. Are you playing, like you said, are you playing Teferi's Protection so that, like, this is the game? Uh-huh. Okay, fine. But if you're just like, oh, got a Wrath again. Oh, this guy played three creatures, got a Wrath. Like, what are we doing here? If your commander is Nevinural, or you're, a Loro Mono Wrath dot deck, like, what are you doing? It's you're a stacks player. Just be honest with yourself. If you're playing more than two Wrath effects in a game, you're a stacks player. You might as well play a Winter Orb.
So, I mean, thank you for calling in, Jason. I don't know how we're going to spin this afterwards. Is Jason, because you've given it such a favorable question, am I the bolus for not wanting to waste anybody's time?
I'm a good person. Am I the bolus for being good when everyone else is not?
I'm a good guy.
Hey, don't wrap my board. I'm trying to assemble a four enchantment contraption over here and kill everybody. And you're over here exiling my... Because I get that people would hear me complain and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I blow up your stuff you were trying to kill me with? Oh, I'm sorry, mister. I can't handle having my permanents go away. Ooh, that sounds hard. Like, it's so easy to dismiss the argument. So I really felt like I needed to fully articulate it.
I'll say again, I know I said we're going to go out on this, but I, something I've been trying to be cool with is knowing that there's another game coming. And just because something got destroyed or exiled doesn't mean I won't see it again. You know what I mean? Like, it's gone for this game.
Yeah.
So I'm bad at making those decisions where, like, you know, I have this, my Prosper deck. I have my, like, I play a lot of red decks where you're exiling a bunch of stuff and you're like, well, I've got like these five cards in exile and I really don't want to miss out on any of them. But the right move is to just play what's in my hand over that, you know?
Yeah.
So I've just exiled these cards for nothing and they're just going to go away. But personally, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to see them go away. I'm so mad at that. But it's just like, they'll be there next game. You'll play it next time.
I just want to play that next game and I want to play it soon.
I know. I do want to play it soon, too. But hey, c'est la vie. And that's French. What should we do? We should tell everybody where to find you. What do you want them to check out?
Sure. The stuff I'm proudest of, I'm behind the scenes. I'm producing podcasts like this one. I started a website called Commander's Herald that I'm very proud of. EDH Rec gave me money and, like, people. And stuff. Oh, yeah. They're like, go do a project. So I did a project called Commander's Herald. We only do satire. Commander's Herald has become a victim of its own success because, like, the funny stuff is getting shared, like, outside of Magic circles. So yeah. it seems like Commander's Herald's mostly doing satire because that stuff is just going gangbusters.
Right.
But Mikey's Am I the Bolus column? Consistently in the top three, top five, top 10, almost. You're almost always in the top 25 per week to week on the. No, it's a great website. I love Commander's Herald. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the articles on EDHREC. I'm proud of what we could be doing in the future on Cardsphere. I'm on a podcast called Brainstorm Brewery. I've been podcasting on that for 9 years, I think. Yeah.
Almost 10.
It's a Magic the Gathering lifestyle podcast. We tell people when to buy and when to sell their cards to play the game the most affordably. And I'm around. I really like my current role as content lead, because I get to hire people who have never written before and give them a chance. I get to go out to people who, like Lenny Woolley is a guy I just played webcam games with, and I was like, we got to have your deck building style represented in an article series. So like, as much as I quit writing myself, I haven't really quit producing content. I'm giving other people a chance, I guess, now. And that's rewarding to me. I like it. So yeah, check out my projects. Go to all the Space Cow websites, EDH Rec, Commander's Herald, Cardsphere, Architect, Fabrec. Do it all. We have a lot of websites because we really want to give people jobs. That's what Don Miner from EDH Rec, the whole reason we're not still a bot on Reddit, because he wanted to give people opportunities, and I've had enough of my own. I'm giving people opportunities now, and it's the most rewarding stuff I've done as part of a community.
And it feels good to be part of that team, honestly. Like, got to meet some of the coolest people, and you get to work with people that you're a fan of before you even like get to meet them. You know, like I was a fan of Michael Solani. He's gonna listen to this. Hey Solani, what's happening, buddy? We're gonna talk about you after this. Was a fan of Solani's deck building before he started How They Brew It.
I almost didn't hire you because we already had an Italian guy named Mike C, and I was like, that's going to get too confusing. I hope they do a bit on the first episode of the podcast and never do another one. I was really hoping it would be a non-recurring bit.
Of the two mics?
That was my hope for the two mics. Yeah, the Italian one. There's so many ways you can play that off, but like...
I know. Well, here's the thing. You'll notice that I haven't made that joke.
You have to. It's up to you.
I don't want
to. I'll come on every episode if that's what it takes.
No one should know I'm Italian. That's not fair to me.
Your name is Carbonza.
It's Carosa, but
no,
close.
No, I remember... The name Carbonza. That's your. I'll call it 75%. That was your mistake. We all do it.
It is a very big mistake, honestly. The committing to Mark Carbonza and every
you made an email
article.
Address. Mark Carbonza's on the grid.
No, Jason. I had the email address. That's an old email address of mine from when. Yeah. Okay. Somebody brought me up on stage as Mark Carbonza once.
Oh my
and
God.
I thought that was so funny. And I just started writing articles online from like for a website called The Narcissist, just like as a character named Mark Carbonza.
If you bring somebody up on stage and you botch their name, it's the worst. I hate that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I preferred Mark Carbonza to the people who kept singing my name to My Sharona every time. Mike Carosa,
why would you
love
tell me that
My Sharona.
I'm going to do that now? Am I even going to want to?
Yeah, and I'm going
to
punch you when I see you in a month. I'm not going to let that
You're
going
to punch me and I'll be like, ow, 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 ow.
Okay, we're getting out of here. Bye, everybody. No, nobody. Any of that? Well, we can't even clear the track, so it's fine. We're not going to. Don't you dare. But also, don't nobody do that. Oh, man. Please cut all of this. Okay. Thank you for calling
patrons.
In,
thank you for going to patreon.com/MarkCarbonza and giving us as little as $1 episode to have access to all of the embarrassing Mike Carosa stories.
You know what? I can't. All right, bye, Jason. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry this is an hour-long interview, Ken.
It got cut down to 15 minutes of usable stuff. This is fine.
Isn't that a mess? And let's get back to Michael Solani and Morgan in the booth.
Are you going
to
play the theme song again?
Yeah.
What happens if I talk over it? Is that bad?
Yeah, Ken cuts it out. It's not a problem.
It'd be fun if you left it.
I know. Well, shout out to the boss man, Jason Ault. Thank you for calling in and being very, very pleasant and not scary like somebody treated just the call coming in.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Good of you to join us again, buddy. I don't know why you needed to. You didn't have to go. He's a good guy. He's nice.
Have you seen the jumpsuit, the tracksuit?
It is very intimidating. The tracksuit is intimidating.
It's very intimidating. I see it in my nightmares.
I live for it. I want to get a tracksuit of my own, but my girlfriend was like, if you get a tracksuit, it will be too triggering for me because she dated a Slovenian man. So that she was like,
no, hold on. Finish that thought.
I thought that was going to she was a mob wife situation.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's enough information about my personal life.
Wait.
Hey, what? What? My girlfriend dated a Slovenian guy who was into tracksuits. And then if I got into tracksuits, she'd be like, this is a little bit too much deja vu for me. And you know what? That's fair. And it doesn't help that I've been learning a little bit of Slovenian on the side to surprise her with a romantic saying of, how do you like my tracksuit, babe? And I think that might be too much. So take it easy.
I recommend couples therapy.
Yeah, couples therapy at the tracksuit store. Anyway, Morgan, before we get into dissecting my chat with the boss man, first of all, give him a follow online, listen to Brainstorm Brewery, make sure you do everything that he's involved in, EDH Rec, Commander's Herald, all of it. Just anything that Jason touches has been fantastic, and you gotta give it up to the boss man. So also, I think Don Miner might hate that we keep calling Jason the boss man when he's also the big boss man. So shout out to Don and Jason, but also particularly Jason, for calling in. And before we get to discussing what Jason and I talked about, Morgan, break down the voting system for us before we talk about his question.
All right, y'all. So getting ready for some math here. Okay.
A little bit of math.
Me and Solani is two people. Yes. We each have one vote.
Single
which
one.
Which means two together, him and I. All right.
Two times one is two.
Two.
Yes, exactly.
And what about me?
Okay, for you, your vote is worth 3 points.
Ha ha! This is news to me after 10 or so episodes.
Are we on our centennial?
I don't know what that means.
Decadial?
Centennial is 100. When we get to 100 episodes, 97 more magic expansions will have come out. I called it expansions because I thought it'd be funnier. Anyway, Morgan, why don't you take us to the question? Jason wants to know.
Is Jason the bolus for wanting people to respect his time?
I think I should go first here and say, while the question itself, no, he's not the bolus for wanting his time to be respected. I agree with this. I think he's correct. I don't want anybody wasting my time either. But it's almost like he couldn't help himself because he called into the show whose format he decided would be this format and didn't even ask the question of whether or not he's the bolus. He didn't even come up with a situation where he might have been the villain. Instead, he's asking, am I the bad guy for hating when people waste my time? They are being mean to me. Am I bad for not liking that? Yeah, Jason, you're the bolus for not asking a better question. Are you the bolus for when you feel like people are disrespecting you and they're wasting your time? No, I don't think you are for that reason. I think that that's totally fair, and I agree with you in 90% of the way, as evidenced by our discussion moments ago. But are you the boldest for foisting this format onto us, this Frasier inspired mess, and then not even doing the bit of asking, am I the villain? Here's a story. You're the boldest guy. You're the boldest man. Big boldest boss man over here. Boldest. Morgan, what do you got for us? Even though my vote has been cast as three.
I mean, I think that Jason's trying to pull like a bait and switch here for us. This is like a bolus within bolus. Like, I think he thinks he's being cute by asking like, oh, you know, people respect my time. But if you're coming around to the table and you got like eight decks that you want to play in the span of an hour, you're the bolus. You're the bolus.
Why? What? In an hour does feel insane. When was that asked as like an hour thing?
That's got to be like the time limit, right? I think that that's your like match time limit. Let's get an hour, get through eight decks. That's what it sounded like to me, at least. So I'm going to say Jason's the bolus.
Morgan, what conversation did you hear? Because I don't know. I understand what you're saying in that he said, I have other decks and I'm happy to play those. And that's why I'm fine with the game ending. But you're saying that he's the bolus for hoping that the game ends sooner? Because the player played a board wipe and extended the game? I'm not sure. I guess either way, you called him the bolus, and that's the correct move. So I think I'm fine with no matter what you say here. So, Michael, how about you? What do you got for us? How you taking on the boss man?
Hold on. I've got this manifesto.
You know, we can't hear that. Zoom isn't picking up you slapping, pulling, like flicking your massive stack of paper. It's not coming up.
That's okay. I'll just read from it instead, then, the way papers are meant to work.
What if Farewell you slapped the paper to necessary. The microphone and it worked?
Hang on. Kuroza, he's reading from the scriptures.
Yeah.
But you're telling me he slapped his pages to the microphone thinking that the microphone would hear them into our ears? Like the microphone would read the that was
isn't that how text-to-speech works?
That's it was too funny to just sidestep. I'm sorry, listeners. That was quick even for me, and I'm slow, sure. But like, hey, that was good. Maybe our distracted listeners didn't hear that as well as I did right then, but snaps from me.
Anywhere, I've got some, from the pulpit.
I've got some knowledge to impart upon you.
The Phyrexian
Farewell
scriptures.
Is absolutely necessary. Okay, Mike?
Boo.
Stop recurring things. Boo. Things were not meant to be recurred from the graveyard. You're Boo. Supposed to play a card, and then if it goes away, that's the end of the card. You're not supposed to lose a card and then find it again like you're in the lost and found at a Denny's, you know? Things were not meant to come back from the graveyard. In fact, Boo. Exile all graveyards. You say you need another zone because exile is too cramped? No. Let's get rid of the graveyard zone and just have everything be exile.
If something
slower?
Is dead, it should stay dead. Because
yes,
those are the rules
in
real life.
Natural order.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even what happens when you play natural order, but that is the rules.
It does destroy an artifact or enchantment, which should get rid of it forever. But look, if your deck is slower, play Farewell. You know, you got to punish all the people being greedy. You got to punish all the people, you know, milling 30 cards into their graveyard and thinking it's okay because, oh, I'm just in Golgari. It's like a second hand to me. No, it's not. We're going to get rid of it. And it's going to be great for everybody else because then you can't do a bunch of BS. You know, you have to pay for your spells. And if you play something into removal and it's gone, you know? Enchantments deserve to be wiped too. And you know what? It's not like, oh, it's okay if you only pick one mode of merciless eviction. Nobody likes picking exile all enchantments on merciless
but that's
eviction.
Okay.
Nobody
okay.
likes doing that. It's gotta
hold on a second. I'm interrupting you.
Enchantments can't hit you.
No. I'm interrupting you to say I'm too greedy for wanting to keep stuff in my graveyard. But you're not too greedy for wanting every option available to you on a single card?
If the Simic player just dumps out everything on their hand, and they can do that because they're playing Simic, and they do that, and you play a Farewell, and it goes away, how can you say that a justified moral good has not just occurred on the board? I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that there is some sort of deontological purpose that playing Farewell is always bad when it
it's
results
not
in
always
clear
bad.
The
Simic
player
board
does
states.
Not deserve to remain in the play group. That's all
so
I'll say about it.
Hold on a second. We can't hate on Simic altogether. That's for Selesnya. The thing is, Jason called in and talked about Farewell having its place. Yes, we're not saying that we don't like Farewell because it ends games. That's not true. If you're going to end a game, fantastic. I play Farewell in my Super Friends deck. That's where it belongs. Hey, I'm about to ultimate a bunch of these things and the board is threatening. Boom. Farewell.
You want an even deeper cut? Mass Land Destruction's also good. Just play shit that slows the game down. The games do not need to last only 20 minutes. You can have a longer, you can have a longer, more drawn out, better game by just playing through more of the cards in your deck. And if you enjoy EDH in a way that all you need to do is draw 20 cards, a fifth of your deck, and that's it for you, and that wins you the game, you're not playing with the vast majority of the cards that you've put in your deck. You know, that's just not the way that I want to play my games. I played a 3-hour game once and it was fantastic. This is real. Oof. I played a 3-hour game with my Gabriel Angelfire deck against a Magar player, against a Super Friends deck. I did cast Farewell against the Super Friends deck. And I don't remember what the third guy did. He didn't do too well.
It's because it was the third hour. And
yeah. But like,
it didn't matter.
That was great. I was down to like 10 cards in my library by the end of it. And it made me so happy, you know?
So I think that part, like, look, if you see 50% of your deck a game, that's a win automatically. Okay. That means that you saw enough and you still have variance in the deck that, like, if you play the next game, you won't have just seen every card that you've just seen already. Perfect way to think about it, I think, is like, I'm not seeing 20%. If you only see 20 cards and you can win, that's not for me either. I like games that go long enough for everybody to kind of have a moment and shine, and then somebody has something going on, and that's that. But I think that somebody going, Farewell, get rid of everything. I don't know. That kind of sucks.
It really doesn't.
It sucks.
Getting rid of everything is the great equalizer. It is what allows bad decks to win against good ones.
Well,
without
Farewell,
you could never play bad decks. It's impossible. It's just going to end up being they steamroll you and you can't do anything about it. You've got to find some way to level the playing field.
Teferi's Protection is that card. Farewell is not. Look, Farewell is a card that's just like everything all at once and I don't care for it. Cyclonic Rift, I'm even way more on board with. Hey, one person gets the advantage. Good for you. You did it. Anyway, I think the one thing that Farewell and Jason both have in common, and I think, Michael, you might agree on this, is that they are the bolus. Can we agree on that?
No, I can't agree that Farewell is the bolus.
Well, then
I agree that Jason's the bolus, but I believe that Farewell is, in fact, a good card, and it is a healthy card.
So we got a unanimous bolus?
By the way, it gets rid of permanents with Ward 3. Think about that.
Boom.
Who is the anti-bolus?
Ugin?
Eugene.
Oh, yeah. My favorite 8-man Eugene.
Yeah.
What?
It's 8 mana, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, it was a colorless dragon. You said Ugin, but I think you meant Eugene.
Yeah.
Yes.
That Eugene. Is the French pronunciation.
Eugene. So wait, Michael. You
only
said
Mike
Jason's
is allowed
bolus?
To make those because he lives in France.
That's right.
He lives in France.
He lives in France.
That's France.
I forgot.
Correct.
You are French.
Been in
France is just a country in Canada. Which is a
that's
continent.
Correct.
And that's how we get it. Anyway, Michael, you said that Jason is the bolus?
Oh, yeah.
You
can't come after my boy Farewell and expect me to leave you with a board full of creatures, artifacts, or enchantments.
What about graveyards, Michael?
Oh, those are going too. I've changed my mind. I think those are going as well.
I hate that so much. I don't think it's fair. I think it's a garbage card, but I do like that we agree on
what
one thing.
What do you think about Pajuka Bog?
Pajuka Bog is fine.
How is it any different? It gets
it's
rid of
so
the things that
different.
Are destroyed.
No, it does. It look, it doesn't. It's not the same. Point is, we all agree that Jason's the bolus, and that's great. Now, a real full-on bolus, a big-time bolus boy. Thank you, Jason, for everything. You have done nothing but enrich my life, but you are
but you're an
pure
ass.
Evil. anyway.
Our pay is so docked.
I think the problem comes back to Jason's point that I actually agree with, which is not winning the game when you cast something like this kind of sucks. Like, when you get to a point where people are twiddling their thumbs and even the player playing the thing doesn't have a way out of it, or like they didn't play into the fact that they're doing this. Like, let's say the player who's about to Armageddon the table and destroy all lands and they don't keep like 3 lands in their hand. When they draw the Armageddon, they're like, let me plan for this. You know what
Why
I mean?
Why is that an invalid outcome?
Because then what's happening? Then what? People pass turn, they skip
it's
until
a draw.
They get the...
If no one wants to play it anymore and they just leave, everyone, it's a draw. That's
yeah,
as valid an outcome for the game as anything else.
But doesn't that feel like it sucks? It does to me.
I think for some people, it feels like it would suck less than... objectively losing to someone blowing you out on turn 5 with a gigantic board of tokens.
Nobody brought turns into this. I don't know why you went with turns or tokens or anything like this. let's say you went into your 3-hour game and somebody was like, now it's time for my farewell. And I have no follow up here.
It's a sunk cost fallacy. Everyone's just describing a sunk cost. You know, it's just like, yeah, sure, it took a while, but that doesn't make it any. It doesn't mean that it was like, not every game has to be a 100% fun romp roller coaster. There are some times when it's okay to have a grindy game too. That's the experience that people are trying to take away by saying that cards like Farewell are unequivocally bad, you know?
See, I won't say that it's unequivocally bad. I will say it's the card that I hate the most. Out of the wraths, there are more interesting wraths that give tension points to the game. Like, it gives you moments where you have to think about, like, is this the right time for this? Or am I going to be doing just like these two? Am I forced into a decision between two of these? Or is it like, you know, I'm waiting on this fumigate so I can wipe the board and gain all this life and have like a payoff for it, or a way to protect my board or something like that. There are ways to like play wraths without them being so
wrathy.
I don't know. Thank you. Wrathy. Forcing an anticlimactic bit to the end. You know,
if you're playing a wrath, everybody needs to be at one life. You have some haster that can attack all three other people at once. That's it. That's what you're saying.
That's right. We should have
Worldfire.
We should unban Worldfire.
That's right.
Unban Worldfire. And nobody used it. Yeah, nobody uses it.
Whoa. I gotta go, guys. Let me get up on Cardsphere and get me a copy of this Worldfire, because
ways to use it. You just gotta cast something from exile.
Nor in the Wary.
You just gotta tap all your mana. You just gotta tap all your mana and cast Worldfire, and then a creature spell with adventure.
I'm building Nor in the Wary, and I'm gonna get a Worldfire right now. Let me see how much they're going for. Worldfire, huh? Whoa, $15. Okay, 30 foil. I like that. Ooh. The offer prices are pretty great here. All right, everybody.
See, this is where we need Jason to tell us on his lifestyle podcast what we should do with world fires.
I mean, I see a world fire over here for $130, and I'm gonna ask them for it. All right, Cardsphere, thanks for having my back.
imagine the chutzpah you must have to say that Farewell is the least fun to have.
The chutzpah.
Is that not allowed? Is that a bad thing to say?
You said chutzpah.
That's a completely different thing.
Did I screw that up?
It's chutzpah.
Imagine the balls you must have to say that Farewell is no good, but you want to go and buy a world fire immediately.
Michael, I'm clearly joking. I don't want to buy a world fire. I looked it up because I think it's funny to look up what this card is at, because I thought,
you know,
for
what's
sure
even funnier?
It was going to be 30 cents casting it. Yeah, 9 mana. Here we go. All right. Anyway, guys, we got to get out of here. It's time to scoot the day on this one.
What all does right? that mean?
No, we're not scooting the day. We're saying farewell.
Boo. Make sure to follow
my
us
world's
on Twitter.
On fire. How about yours?
Boo. You guys got to follow us on Twitter at Am I the Bowlcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed where you're listening to this. Follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on Twitter and Instagram. Check out my Linktree, linktr.ee/Mike Carrozza. Also, you can email us at amithebolus@gmail.com. Send us your stories. We'll talk about it on the podcast, or I'll cover it in the column. I write Am I the Bolus? CommandersHerald.com. Michael Solani, where can people find you?
You can find everything that I do at GamesFreakSA.info. Those are the letters S and the letters A, S-A. GamesFreakSA.info.
And Morgan, how about you? Where can people find you?
I am perpetually at Indigo Gentleman on Twitter.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of Am I the Bowlcast? And remember, if you mess with the dragon, you'll get the horns. I don't like it either. I need to find a way to sign off from this podcast, but I think the best one I have is just bye.